Shalom, family. Shalom, shalom. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, man. This is your brother, Elder Arya Yahawada Yasha'ala, right here for Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. All praises due, as we say in the Hebrew, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise due to that one and only Savior, Creator, the master of the universe, that is what we call in the Hebrew, we say Yah for short, but we say Yahuwah. Some say Yahuwah, some say, y'all know the tetragrammaton, y'all see that YHWH. I just say Yah. All praises due, man. I'm telling you, the only creator, the only savior to the world. Yes, indeed. But thank y'all for tuning in right here for another broadcast right here, Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. Today, I just want to bring to you a broadcast here, a recording from an elder, man, a late great elder, Amore Alicia Israel. You know, the brother have passed on and met the creator, man. I hope he missed the creator, done some wonderful works. Coming from the house of Israel, teaching out of the house of Israel in Cincinnati, Ohio. Like I said, a brother have passed on. May the peace and blessings be upon his soul. But I want to play something for you today. Well, the brother was talking about, had a lecture, a great class, talking about the true identity of the Messiah. Yes, the true identity of the Messiah. So I want to play this one and share this one with you right here on Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. And like I said, I hope y'all have been having a peaceful, wonderful day and weekend and just the week that passed. As well, like I said, I tried to do, sisters and brothers, I was trying to do on Hanukkah, the first day of Hanukkah and or Hanukkah, some people say the Feast of Dedication. I came on live trying to do a the first day on here, but when I was trying to share something with the family to explain what the Feast of Dedication is all about, which some y'all here say Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, where we talk about the rebuilding of the, re-getting back the temple in the back from Maccabees, in the Maccabean era with Judas Maccabees. Y'all know, read the whole story about the history of Hanukkah or the Feast of Dedications, if they would say. And then you can get the whole insight to why we are having this commemoration right now for the next 8 days of Hanukkah. So, yeah. But yeah, the audio, when I tried to play I was trying to play a video and so y'all can hear the audio. The audio, I had my mixer set wrong, so the audio wasn't playing. It only played me, so what, the 20 some minutes of the video did not play, so I had to delete it. I'm sorry about that. So I hope everybody been having a wonderful and delightful Hanukkah, those who have been observing Hanukkah. And I tell y'all, man, even if you say that you follow the New Testament, right, because I know y'all know right here, we're just basically Torah only. But if you follow the Torah and you follow this person you're calling Jesus Christ or Yahweh Shah or Yeshua, you would go to the book of John's, and look at the 10th chapter, the 23rd verse, and you will see where it said that he even supposed to have been following Hanukkah. Yeah, because why wouldn't he? Why would he? Because now, according to this, you know, the story, that he was a Jew himself. Oh, yeah, he was a Jew, what we call a Jew or a Judaic or Yehudai. From the tribe of Yehuda. Y'all know what they say, that he's the king of the Jews. So in that, he would rightfully so be there practicing and observing Hanukkah. Yeah, so you will most definitely go in there and you go to, like I said, yeah, in the book of John, the 10th chapter and the 22nd verse, and I get it to y'all and show you what it says and what it reads. Now, I have my Bible here in the King James. This is the King James, and it says the opposition of the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. Now, that Feast of Dedication, because the word Hanukkah only means dedication. I know that the word Hanukkah means dedication. So, and in this one, they would not have the word Hanukkah in here. So yeah, you if you get to a some other Bibles and some things, y'all have to look it up, and you have to start researching in this and look this stuff up, and you will see it. Now I have some other my Complete Jewish Study Bible. It has it in there because the Complete Jewish Study Bible that I have from the Henderson Bible Corporation. Now it is a messianic. What will we say? A Bible. It is messianic. Yes, sir. It is messianic. Now, I have some other stone Tanakh. You know, there's just only Tanakh, which we all call the Old Testament. So, yeah, I do have a complete Jewish, complete study Bible, and it's messianic. When I read it in there, it actually will say the word Hanukkah. But when you read here in John chapter 10, verse 22, it would say, it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. So this is why we have it at this particular time, because of the Hebrew calendar. So it even tells you when Hanukkah is observed for this Feast of Dedication. So yes, it does have it in there. So y'all can go and look that up and get more insight to it. And I tell y'all what, this King James Bible has it. If you have King James Bible, some good, y'all got to get some study Bibles, man. Don't get none of the more regular old Bibles. And I'm not trying to be, disrespectful of the Bibles. No. But get you some good study Bibles, sisters and brothers. Get you some Bible concordians and all of those good things that you need to help you study, man, and research. But in this King James Bible that I have right here, which study Bible this is. This is from Nelson Publication. I have the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Yeah, the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Now, I will be honest now. This has a lot of great Greek notes and contemporary stuff that's in here. Now, even though it's you know, kind of like some of the contemporaries in the New Testament. Excuse me, y'all. So-called, I'm trying to go fast. Here we get to this lecture. When you get into so-called Tanakh, or they call the Old Testament, now a lot of things they try to fit this person, J.C. Yahawashah, into the equation. Certain things with their footnotes try to say this is talking about him, like Psalm 22 and stuff. They try to make pretend that that's talking about him. No, it's not. And I think we did something on that before a couple of weeks ago. But here it does tell you in the footnote right here, it says that the Feast of Dedication, known as Hanukkah. This is right here in his Bible. See, that's why I say get y'all some good study Bibles. Yes, known as Hanukkah. Yeah, it had its origins in the liberation and rededication of the temple under the Maccabees in 165 B.C. See, there it is right there. It has it in there. So, yes, that's what he, if you messianic or whatnot, or even as you're a Christian and you say you're a Christian, you follow the teachings and examples of this person named J.C., or y'all called him, y'all call him J.C., and I'm saying that for short, because I don't want to really just say that name, or y'all calling him Yahshua or whatever y'all calling him. Y'all really supposed to be observing the Feast of Dedication right now. Yes, because you say you follow him, and he followed Hebrew or Jewish, or not Jewish, y'all, Shalakia. He followed Yuhadin customs. He followed Israelite customs and traditions. Yes, sir, he did, all the feast days. So, hey, so that's what I'm y'all in. Instead of Christmas, you're supposed to be right now observing the Feast of Dedications, because you say that you follow him. Oh, you say you follow him, you have to follow what he followed. Uh-huh. You can't pick and choose. You can't make nothing new. You can't make something new. He didn't sell. Did he see anything with the disciples in there? They follow his birthday? No, they did not. You don't see nothing about nobody following him and observing and made his birthday a whole holiday, even in the Bible. Find it, y'all. Find it. But you can find Pesach, or what they call Passover, in the Bible. What do you see? They have Easter, but it's, you'll see some Bible translations have it, and they have maybe in the footnote they have Pesach. A Passover and the Feast of Dedications, all of these things that him as a supposed to been Yuhadin or Jew observe. But they give y'all something new. So I want to give y'all something right here, man. Get to the elder. May the peace and blessing be upon his soul. More, and we say the word more means teacher. The elder More Alicia. Man, great lecture, y'all. I hope y'all enjoy it. Well, I know y'all enjoy it, but get your Bibles and get ready to get some clear understanding of who it is that is this Messiah that the world has been waiting on. Well, it really wasn't the world. Let me change that. That the children of Israel, that this promised Messiah, that everybody be talking about, that followed the Messiah, this Messiah was only Christians' world. Let me say this right fast, and no disrespect. Y'all got to get a true understanding. The Gentiles were not waiting. The Gentiles, I mean, those who were not Israelites, were not waiting on the Messiah. The promised Messiah that was supposed to come was the Gentile world's people in Africa wasn't waiting on them. The people in Europe or Rome and Greece, they wasn't waiting on the promised Messiah. It was who? It was Israel. It was the Israelites who had the prophecies about a Savior. Do what? Come to the Savior and deliver them, give them salvation. And we're going to get into this whole thing, salvation, as well. Get a clear understanding of salvation, because there is a lot of camps out here as well. These so-called Israelite camps are being deceptive when they're talking about salvation. Now, salvation, this whole thing, only salvation is for Israel only. No, we're going to get into that. Now, I disagree with that. Now, I disagree with that, but this whole Messiah, that was people who was looking for a promised Messiah. It didn't have nothing to do with no whole world. We're going to get into that. Now, that's Christianity. But let's get into it, y'all. Moray, Alicia, peace, and thank y'all for tuning in right here to Liberation Tabernacle Ministry. Oh, one more thing. Also, you can find this show and listen to the podcast right there on iHeartRadio. You can find us and listen in to us right there on now. We are available on Apple Podcast. You can find it now, Liberation Tabernacle Yah, and the Apple Podcast Store. You can follow it right there. Let me see here, Spotify, and a lot of other places you can find us and listen. Tune In Radio. You can listen to this podcast and as we broadcast. So, like I said, Most High be with you, and shalom. And I thank y'all for tuning in right here to Liberation Tabernacle Ministries. Enjoy this magnificent lecture. Peace.
Shalom, my name is Alicia Israel. I am the Moray, or the spiritual teacher of the House of Israel, located at 3546 Montgomery Road. Today, I have the honor and privilege of introducing to many of you all, for the first time, the true word of Yahweh. Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that is therein. Yahweh is the Redeemer and the only Savior of Israel and the world. A lot of people would like to think that the flight of the black man today is merely a trivial or insignificant act that had escaped the all-seeing eye of Yahweh. But that is not so. Everything that has ever happened, everything that is happening, and everything that will ever happen to us as a people is recorded in the Holy Scriptures of your Bible. So today we will speak on the world's best kept secret. And that is the true identity of the Messiah of Israel and what he was to do when he comes to his people. Many people will say that the Messiah has already came in the person of Jesus. And many people will say that the Messiah has already been here in the person of Haile Selassie. But today we will see, according to the words of the true and living Elohim, the only way that we can tell or determine if the Messiah has came. And that is to see the things that Messiah was to do. We must study those things and those signs and understand if the prophecies written about the Messiah has already been fulfilled or accomplished. Because if those things have not been fulfilled or accomplished, then we would know that Messiah has not yet returned to earth, or yet not yet came to earth. So according to the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse, it reads as follows. Surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So we will this day see what the Almighty has revealed concerning the prophets, or concerning the Messiah, to the great prophets of Israel. The Messiah was to come to this earth, and according to the scriptures, there were several things that this Messiah must fulfill when he came to the earth. First, the Messiah was prophesied throughout the Old Testament, or the Holy Scriptures of your Bible, to unite the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Number two, the Messiah was prophesied to destroy all of the enemies of Yahweh and all of the enemies of Yahweh's people. Number three, the Messiah was to rebuild Jerusalem. Number four, the Messiah was prophesied to bring total peace to the earth. Number six, the Messiah was to establish Yahweh's kingdom on earth. Number seven, the Messiah was to re-establish Yahweh's sacrifices of righteousness back on this earth. Number eight, the Messiah was to bring again the scattered tribes of Israel that were scattered about the four corners of the earth, and bring them back to the holy capital, Jerusalem. And as you begin to consider these truths, you will notice that not one of the so-called messiahs have fulfilled any of these various signs that I have written about. No Messiah has yet brought peace to the earth. No Messiah or so-called Messiah has re-established the Yahweh's kingdom and his people on this earth. No Messiah has yet destroyed all the wicked of the earth. And as a matter of fact, no Messiah has done any of the several things that I named and pointed out that the Messiah was to do. But let us see if there was mentioned by name the person that would come to earth and fulfill these great acts, and let us examine and see who that individual is today. First of all, let us turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers, the 24th chapter of Numbers. In Numbers, the 24th chapter, I will start reading at the 16th verse. It reads, "And he said, which heard the words of El, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the visions of the Almighty, fallen into a trance, but having eyes, open. 17th verse. I see him. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. There shall come a star out of Yahakov, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Set. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Verse 19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and destroy him that remaineth of the city. So we see that when Jesus or Haile Selassie were on earth, these things have not been fulfilled. Furthermore, we notice that it was never written nowhere in the so-called New Testament of your Bible that the one that you call Jesus, that some of you all call Yahshua, that some of you all call Emmanuel, was never prophesied that he would destroy the four corners of Moab. These things were not written, and neither was it done when he was here, and neither was it prophesied when he's supposed to have returned. But let us this day examine other scriptures in the holy scriptures of our Bible that will speak of the truth and the works that the Messiah would do when he came back or when he comes to earth. Let us turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. According to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, I will read the 6th and 7th verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, of the Mighty El, of the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this." So let us examine what we have read and try to reach some understanding, because the Holy Scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, but with all you're getting, get understanding. So let's try to get some understanding about what we're reading, because if you don't read the Bible with understanding, then he that reads it in vain. The 6th verse says, "Unto us." Who is us? Us is the house of Israel, the Almighty's chosen people that he is speaking of. And we know this to be true by referring you to Isaiah 9:2. The 2nd verse says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. So it is recorded that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Might I ask you this day, what people on earth has walked in more total darkness than the so-called black man in America? Are there a people on earth that don't know their original names, don't know their nationality, don't know their language, don't know their culture, don't know their fathers, don't know anything about their spirituality or theology before they came to the shores of America? Is there a people on this earth that are more mentally blind, deaf, and dumb than the black man in America? Is there a people on this earth that are as destructive to one another as the black man is to themselves? Is there a people in America that has no vision at all for the future except sending their kids to schools so that they can get an education and become servants to other races and other nationalities as the black man is in America? Is there truly a people that have walked in darkness more than a black man in America? And the answer is an emphatic no. That's the reason Isaiah 9:2 stated, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. And truly, America has been the land of the shadow of death unto our people. According to the white man's history, millions of our people died on ships, laying on top of one another, urinating on top of one another, coming to America. Many of them died these terrible and horrible, unspeakable deaths just coming to the shores of America. And according to their history, millions of black men were beaten to death on the various islands that they took our people to, the islands that they call the Breaking Land. These islands, such as Haiti, where they dropped off the slaves to be broke, where they would have their spirits broke, and where they would become a people that can accept servitude and slavery. Millions of our people were tormented with the most unspeakable evils that could inherit a man or his people, just to have his spirits broke to come to America. And then after they left these breaking grounds and reached the shores of America, think of the millions of black men that were worked to death, that were beat to death, and their wives raped, their sons torn feathered and made into homosexuals, their daughters ravished and used up by the men of the land. Isn't this truly the land of the shadow of death? Ever since we've been in America, many of our people, and to this very day, die at the guns of the policemen who were hired to enforce the law and to enforce justice. But as many of us already knew, just us to the white man meant just that, just us, and it was not pertaining to our people. That's the reason it was always justifiable homicide when they decided to kill a young black man. It was always open season for our sons to walk the streets of America. This is truly the land of the shadow of death. And the Almighty State stated, though, upon us as his great light shine. And the light that the Creator is speaking of is the light that is going forth in your homes today, bringing you the good tidings from the only true and living Elohim. And the good tidings about his true Messiah that we will teach you about today. But according to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto Israel, unto us a son is given, and the government of Yahweh shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty El, of the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, of Yahweh's government. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom." Whose kingdom? David's kingdom. David's throne. "To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this." And then the 8th verse read, "Yahweh sent a word unto Yaakov, and it has lighted upon Israel." So this whole prophecy about the Messiah was to come to us, the black man in America, in the last days. And this has not yet been established. These things did not happen in the days of Haile Selassie, nor the days of Jesus, but there are written these words that they should be performed and accomplished and fulfilled in the last day. Furthermore, if we turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, starting at the first verse, it reads as follows, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of the knowledge of the fear of Yahweh." So let's see, and let us examine what the very first verse is saying. We look into our Bibles again. It says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." And who is Jesse? What significance does Jesse have? If you did not know, Jesse is the father of King David. That is the only reason that his name is mentioned in the Bible. Now you notice it didn't say there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Joseph. or there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Mary. But rather it said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, clearly explaining that this branch and this stem and that rod and that root would be a son of Jesse. And the son that is being spoken of here is not Jesus, not Haile Selassie, but David. And at the time this prophecy was recorded, King David had been dead for centuries. But the Almighty is speaking of David, that he will bring back to rule his kingdom, as he promised that he would do to King David while he was alive. Furthermore, the second verse says, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge of the fear of Yahweh, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Was this done when Jesus was on earth? Did he smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and destroy the wicked with the breath of his lips? And did he slay the wicked in his days, as is being prophesied here? The fifth verse reads, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his lions, and faithfulness the girdle of his rams. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatlings together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play at the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. The waters cover the sea. And as you see, my brethren, these things have not yet been fulfilled. So how could you claim someone is the recipient of these prophecies, and they came, they left, and they died, and these things still was not fulfilled? But rather, these prophecies were made after the death of King David, about David. But at the same time, they was made before Jesus or Haile Selassie were ever born. And when they came, as you see, these things have not yet been fulfilled. Furthermore, if we look in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and we study the 3rd to the 5th verse, it reads as follows. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. So we find here Isaiah brings to our attention that the Creator stated in the third verse that we should incline our ears and come unto Yahweh and hear, and our soul shall live. And then the Creator stated that I will make an everlasting covenant with those that do that thing, even according to the covenant and the mercies of David. And then the Creator said, behold, I have given him. Given who? You did not say Jesus, but rather your Bible said, I have given David for a leader, a witness, and a commander to the people. And this is way after King David was dead. Furthermore, if we turn our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, right in back of Isaiah, if we turn to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, I would like us to read the 7th to the 9th verse together. And let's see what the Almighty told the great prophet Jeremiah. And while we're reading this, we want to think and recollect, was Jesus ever called David? No. Jesus was perhaps called the son of David, but Jesus was never called David in the entire Bible. And you must notice the Almighty did not say, I'm going to send back the son of David, the nephew of David, or the uncle of David, but rather I will send back David. And this is what the Almighty told the great prophet Isaiah, and it appears as if the same message is being spoken of from the mouth of Yahweh to another great prophet named Jeremiah. We find in Jeremiah the 30th chapter, the 7th to the 9th verse, it reads as follows. At last, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yahakov's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The 8th verse, for it shall come to pass in that day, said Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So let's see what we have just read. The 7th verse states, alas, for that day is great, so that there will be none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The Almighty is telling us in the 7th verse that in the last days, there will be a day like no other day on the face of this earth. This day is known to us as the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And who is Jacob? Part of Jacob is the black man in America. And the black man in America will endure suffering, grief, damnations, unimaginable, unspeakable atrocities will befall the black man in America. And I know many of you all doubt my words, but I must say to you, just stick around. You will see a day in America where there is no work from the head down to the tail. You will see massive unemployment. You will see the black men running to garbage cans, jumping in cans like frogs jump in a pond, fighting over a morsel of bread. You will see the wholesale slaughter of black men and women in America by the so-called law enforcement agencies of America. You will see the black man's blood running down the street, being shot down with shotguns and machine guns. You see the black man's stores in this community closed down. You will see the martial law being read off, and you will see curfews being imposed in the black man's community. You will see these things because the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. And these are what the Bible called the beginning of Jacob's trouble. But the Almighty said that Jacob would be saved out of it, or a remnant of Jacob would be saved out of it. Then the 8th verse says, reason that he would be saved out of it, for it shall come to pass in that day, said Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck. Whose yoke? The white man's yoke from off of your neck, and will burst thy bonds. Burst the bonds of slavery and servitude that were placed on your minds and necks. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of Jacob. No, it will come to pass that strangers shall no more exploit you, degrade you, discriminate against you, subjugate you, or eliminate you. The Almighty said, for we will serve Yahweh, our Elohim, and David, our king, whom I will raise up, and to them. So you hear and see with your eyes. This is not a book that I wrote and placed in your house. These are the words of thus said Yahweh. These are words of the true and living Elohim. These are the words of the Creator. And the Creator stated that in the last days we would seek him and David, not Jesus, not Haile Selassie. Furthermore, let us turn our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel and see if the Almighty told the great prophet Ezekiel anything different than he has told Jeremiah or Isaiah. And this day I will show you where all the black prophets of Yahweh were told the same identical thing. They, though many of them lived many hundreds of years between one another, the same identical prophecy of David came to all of them by the mouth of the true and living Elohim. So you might as well learn to accept these words, because you cannot fight them. The scripture says there is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding against Yahweh. So you might as well buckle down and get ready to accept his words that are being taught this last day. For the Holy Scripture says in the last days, wisdom will be increased. And these things that I was showing you, blessed art thou that thou art able to see and receive them. For many people that were more righteous than you did not have the privilege of having these words fulfilled and explained to them. So according to the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, I will start reading at the 20th verse. According to the 20th verse, it reads, "Therefore thus said Yahweh unto them." You notice by this time that there is nothing that I have showed you that said, "Thus said Peter, thus said Paul, or thus said Jesus." Because no one in the entire Bible came and quoted what Peter or Paul said. The Almighty, when he sent his holy black prophets throughout the world, he told them to go to his people and tell them what thus said Yahweh. So I'm not here to quote a man. I'm not here to trust in a man. But I'm here to tell you the words of the true and living Elohim. So take notice. The 20th verse says, "Therefore, thus said Yahweh unto them, Behold, I will judge between the fat lambs and between the lean lambs. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horn, until ye have scattered them abroad." The Almighty here is talking about how the false pastors, the false prophets, have scattered his people. And then the Almighty picks up in the 22nd verse where it reads, "Therefore I will save my flock, and they should no more be a prey, and I will judge between lamb and lamb, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, and even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince amongst them. I, Yahweh, have spoken it." So we that have eyes and can see, and ears and can hear, we know these things will occur. We know that David will be the one shepherd of the Almighty's flock, because the Almighty ends the 24th verse by saying, "I, Yahweh, have spoken it." And we know that anytime that Yahweh speaks something, it is forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it, because Yahweh does it. And we know that it shall be forever. Because according to the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 8th verse, it says, The grass withers, the flower faded, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. And we know that according to Psalms 89 and 34, that the Almighty said, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that are gone out of my mouth." The Almighty will never alter nothing that is gone out of his mouth. Furthermore, we know that the Almighty stated in the book of Psalms, 119 chapter, the 89th verse, that his word is settled in heaven. Furthermore, we know that Yahweh says in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse, that I am Yahweh, I change not. The wind changes, the weather changes, you and I change, but Yahweh stands forever, and Yahweh does not change. That's the reason we can believe every word that he says and take it to the bank. Because when we know that the Creator has spoken, nothing can be taken from it, and nothing can be added to it. And we find that great poetic verse written in a book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. And let us read that according to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse, 3rd chapter, 14th verse, it reads, I know that whatsoever Elohim does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. In Elohim does it, that men shall fear before him. Furthermore, if we turn our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, we will start at the 21st verse. And it begins to read as follows. And say unto them, thus said Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from amongst the heathens, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation, and the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all, and they should no more two nations, neither should they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither should they defile themselves any more with their detestable things, nor with their transgressions. But I will save them out of all of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd, not two, but one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes to do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I've given unto Yaakov, my servant, wherein their fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Now I would like to ask you so-called clever ministers that are in our listening audience that are teaching contrary to the divine words of Yahweh that I just read. How long is forever? And if Yahweh says that there will be one king, one shepherd, one prince, one witness, one commander, and one leader of his people, and said David shall be their king, their shepherd, and their prince forever, then how long is forever? And if forever is as long as we think that it is, it appears as if King David will not ever die, but he would be the king of Yahweh's people forever. And since these are the words of the true and living Elohim, how do you feel today, knowing you are going out to your various churches, your various congregations, and begin to quote what Peter and Paul said, which is totally contrary to what the true and living Elohim said? Now, I guess you can begin to see why the Creator has regarded you all as his worst enemies. While there is no one or nothing in the entire Bible is spoken of as being as low as a false prophet. And you can change if you wish. All you have to do is turn and exalt the true and living Elohim up in the righteous position where he belongs, and keep him there, and don't put no one beside him at all. And that is the first commandment. I am Yahweh, the Elohim, out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no gods, no Elohim, no deities, no detestable vanities beside me at all. And you have broke that one great commandment, which is above all of the commandments. You broke it. Furthermore, if we turn our Bibles to Ezekiel, before the fourth chapter, you had just read in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, that David would be the prince, shepherd, and king. You had just read in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, that the Almighty Yahweh said that David would be the king, the shepherd, and his prince forever. And what I would like to show you today is something that I believe that many of you all have never read. I'm going to show you how great this prince is, and how close this great prince David is with Yahweh. According to Ezekiel, the 44th chapter, the first verse, it begins to read, "Then he brought me back the way of the gate, the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said Yahweh unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be open, and no man shall enter in by it, because Yahweh thy Elohim of Israel has entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut." And then the third verse says something very strange, very peculiar. but very remarkable. It says in the third verse, it is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before Yahweh. He shall enter in by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same. In other words, what you have just read in your Bible is that David would be so exalted that the Almighty said that he would go in with Yahweh and shall eat bread with Yahweh. And his honor was never given to any other man that was prophesied that he would live forever. Right now, our time is getting short. But next week, we will resume this great lesson on the world's best kept secret, and that is the true identity of the Messiah of Israel, which is no other than King David. Now you can say to yourself, the Almighty is wrong, and you and your pastors are right. Or you can be very wise and humble yourself as a little child and say to yourself, I have been wrong. My pastors have been wrong. My leaders have been wrong. But I'm ready to accept the words from the true and living Elohim so that I might also have a chance to live forever and live forever in the kingdom of Yahweh and serve the Almighty in his kingdom, the only kingdom that remain and shall be established forever. And if there's anyone in our listening audience that dare to question, to rebuke, to challenge any of the words that I have spoken to you this day or any day, I graciously will accept their challenges. I will come to your church, your synagogues, or your temple and discuss this great matter. For the Almighty stated in the book of Proverbs that the lion is a king of the beasts. He further stated that the lion don't fear nothing or runs from anything. And then the Creator stated in the book of Proverbs something that I would like you to read right now. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, the first verse, it states, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I'm standing, waiting, as bold as a lion for any of you false ambassadors of hell to challenge any of the words of the true and living Elohim that I'm bringing forth unto you. Until then, I would like to say I love you very much, and so does Yahweh. Shalom.